Under the Scope.
Hey everybody, Jared and Shane, that's me, that's Jared. We are back in the car, reviewing another movie.
And that's on the iPhone because I forgot my camera at home.
So deal with it, suckers.
Yeah.
This time around, it is the spiritual successor slash sequel to the 2008 movie Cloverfield. Of course, we are talking about 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Correct.
Right? That's what it's called.
Correct.
You may have seen the trailer for this.
Sort of dropped surprisingly on us in January.
Yeah.
When nobody knew what was happening, and all of a sudden, bam. Here's a trailer for 10 Cloverfield Lane, and everyone's like, whoa, whoa, ah!
J.J. Abrams and his mystery box unleashed on us again. This is produced by J.J. Abrams, but not directed by Jared. It is directed by, is it Dan Trachtenberg?
Dan Trachtenberg.
And starring...
And I believe in his this is his feature film debut.
He hasn't done a lot. We looked on Wikipedia, and it's a short page.
It is. So it's starring John Goodman.
Johnny Goodman.
As, what was his name? Harry?
Howard.
Howard, that's it. I knew it was an H name. You have Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Michelle. You may remember her from as Ramona Flowers from the Scott Pilgrim movie.
Yep, and Full House.
Right. Was she in what?
She's all grown up. Michelle.
No, not that Michelle.
Oh, I've got Fuller House on the brain.
She was also in the remake of The Thing and in a few things over the years.
Yes.
And our third character is Emmett, played by... I don't remember his name.
But what's he starred in?
He is when he was Jim on The Newsroom on HBO, if you watch that show. That's where you know him.
Yep, you'd recognize him there.
Except he's got a big old beard in this one. I didn't even recognize him from the trailers.
Yeah, I would. Trailers don't give away too much, and I think that our review will follow suit.
Right.
Normally we let her rip, but in the spirit of the Bad Robot vibe, we will give bare minimum stuff and then talk about it. As best we can.
Yeah.
Without giving everything away. So, Jared, please, talk about the trailer. Because that's what we're going to be covering.
Well, we can talk a little bit about the setup. So,
okay.
Michelle is... The opening scene is shot without dialogue. It's just a lot of scenes of her hurriedly packing her bags.
Yep.
And she's turns out that she's leaving her boyfriend.
Yep.
Or fiancé probably.
Like,
or maybe her...
Husband,
we don't really know. We're not interested in all the details.
We're not privy.
But she's basically packing everything up and running and leaving. And she hits the road. This is in Louisiana. And she ends up in a car wreck.
Yes.
And then she wakes up inside a bunker.
There you go.
And inside the bunker is
Howard
and Emmett.
And
lots of food. And apparently the world has ended.
Or something.
We don't know.
Howard doesn't
According to
know.
Howard. But bad things have happened. There's nothing going on the emergency bands, which leads him to believe that the worst has happened. He's a bit of a ex-military conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Emmett is sort of the...
hillbilly
hillbilly high school star who never really applied himself, or maybe was too scared of the big, scary world out there and sort of just spoiled his chance at a better life and ended up helping Howard build this bunker over the years. And so he knew it was there when apparently everything went south.
Yep.
That's how our trio ends up together in the bunker.
And Howard is a bit of an odd, unsettling duck.
Yeah.
He's strange.
He's very paternal in his own way.
Yep. But also has a tendency towards violent outbursts.
Yes.
And maybe behavior. And so then the story progresses. Of course, the question is... Is there really something going on outside the bunker? Is Howard who he says he is? Is Emmett who he says he is?
Right.
What are we doing down in here? Why? How did Michelle get there?
A lot of mystery to unfold.
A lot of mystery, and it does over the course of about 90 minutes or so. And there's going to be a little bit of tension, obviously, and there's going to be a little bit of catharsis. And you might actually find out what the story with the bunker is, Jared.
You just might if you stick around to the end, which of course we're going to.
Which of course you do. So that is the basic story of the film.
Yes.
If that sounds intriguing to you. It's like a high concept premise, right?
Right.
Someone's kidnapped for unknown reasons and they wake up in a bunker and there could be shit going down.
Yeah, we don't really know the exact circumstances And sometimes we think we know, and then it changes, and then maybe it changes again.
Yeah.
And you're kind of left guessing as to what the real deal is until probably the last 15 minutes.
When sure.
Everything's revealed.
Yeah. So let's talk about this, Jared. We don't want to be out all night.
No, we don't.
We want to get to the point and give this a score. What say you?
I really like this movie.
Okay.
I liked the fact that I love the way it was shot. I think the cinematography was really interesting, and that there was a lot of close-ups on things, a lot of interesting focus shifts. I like the fact that, you know, the opening scene was done without any dialogue, but you still kind of got the gist of what was going on. I thought that was handled really well.
Mm-hmm.
And just throughout, there's a lot of little shots that I just thought were really, really cinematic and really interesting. And I liked the way that everything sort of unfolds, and as soon as you think you know something, then suddenly the rug is pulled out from under you, and you're given a new set of information that maybe changes everything, but maybe it doesn't, and you're kind of left guessing until the very end exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I thought everyone gave a really good performance.
Yeah, I think the acting in this film was pretty solid all the way around. You don't get to see John Goodman in essentially a starring role.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't love it as much as you, and I will tell you why as I think about it.
Okay.
The basic story, it's like weirdness wrapped in weirdness.
Okay.
Like a very strange kidnapping story.
Yeah.
Wrapped in a conspiracy theory story with a possible post-apocalyptic story as possibly
could be
the
aliens,
backdrop.
Could be the Ruskies, yeah. Could be biological, nuclear, we don't know.
Normally with a film like this, you find out what's going on. Okay. And the people exist in it. But in this film, it's definitely a smaller personal story, which sometimes you see in films like this, but it's a very weird one that's mm-hmm. that's almost like The Shining or something. I don't... You know, it's like... It seems sure. like a very weird thing that's happening that almost supersedes the bigger weird thing that's happening, and then all of a sudden it shifts to something else that's completely weird.
Okay. And that's valid.
And it didn't feel like it fit together for me.
Okay.
Like, you know, you have this very high concept story, and it was plenty. It was interesting and it was intriguing.
You're saying you didn't like need the how it resolved itself in the third act?
Yeah, the third act didn't feel connected to the story, yeah. Even though they talk about it, and you're certainly in a bunker, but that it's almost like a kidnapping story to me.
Okay.
And then you've got this other whole bit that.
But did you
it frames it, and
given
it didn't
the
feel
fact
like
that
connected.
It's supposedly a Cloverfield film, did you think it was going to resolve itself in any different way? I mean, I guess there was the opportunity to sort of do the ultimate bait and switch.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though, is like it is a Cloverfield story, but it doesn't feel like the original Cloverfield.
No.
You know what I mean?
That's intended to.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I don't even.
And it takes. I get the idea that it took place years later, maybe or not. I mean, she has an iPhone that has iOS. 7, 8, or 9 on it.
It's
I mean,
clearly
it's not...
It's not connected to the original movie, in my opinion. I think it is another story
right.
that has similar weird mystery box-esque things, but it's not in the same universe. That was my opinion. That was my takeaway.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think maybe it's in the same universe, but it could be just years after the events of the first film. But I guess maybe they would have been talking about it. It would have been better known.
If that were the case, then I don't think that her being locked up in the mystery box. She is locked in the mystery box. Her being locked in the bunker, and when they talk about the possibilities of it being war or aliens or whatever,
right?
Like she seemed like utterly confounded by it. Nobody seemed like they bought into it except the guy that locked.
Yeah,
them
I guess
down
if you're living in the world where an alien monster had attacked already years ago.
This would not be a surprise.
This would be like, oh, of course it's aliens.
Yeah, everyone would be prepared. So that was my take.
Okay,
it was like,
that's
okay.
Fair.
It's like, yeah, it's like we have similar elements that we don't really know what's going on. In the movie, in Cloverfield 2, you never really saw the monster
right.
very well until the end, and that was sort of the mystery.
So maybe that is the right take. This is another Cloverfield tale that is disconnected from the
original. It just happens to have the same name, and they do weird mystery type things.
Okay. I'll go with that.
So anyway,
I don't know that makes me not like it.
Yeah, no, and I get it. I mean, for me, I'm just sort of struggling with this concept of this very, very weird event, a very, very specific event happens to this girl.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, she's taken and put in this bunker, which in itself is mind-bogglingly weird, but and rare. And then you have this other,
yeah,
this other cloak of stuff wrapping it, which is even weirder and rarer.
You could have resolved that story by itself in a completely different way, in a non-Cloverfield way, and it still would have been a compelling movie just by itself. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, so that was sort of my thing. I think I liked both parts of the story. I liked where the third act sort of goes and the possibilities for what it could be.
Yeah.
It was just sort of weird, like you have a very tense, tight psychological drama, and then all of a sudden you don't.
True.
It becomes something completely completely different, and
yeah,
and the main actress sort of sums it up when she gets out of there and says her one big cuss swear word.
Her one F-bomb for the PG-13
like
rating.
It's like you're going from one crazy world to another possible crazy world. And it was jarring for me.
Okay.
But still well done. It was a well done
movie. It's
a
valid criticism, but it doesn't
hey, that's okay.
bother me.
That's okay.
Too much.
That's okay.
Maybe it does more than it used to.
I don't know. We don't always have to agree, and I think that people that are fans of this will definitely like it. It just, for me, just didn't totally come together.
Okay.
Didn't totally come together. But let's stop making dinosaur sounds and give this thing a score.
That's more like a dinosaur wizard.
Yeah, I like it. Let's give it a score.
The Soap score is 3 stars.
So 3 stars. Jared was a little higher. I was a little lower. Yeah. But because we are bros before hoes...
Sure.
We meet in the middle. We
that
know
is
how
what
to,
we do.
We know how to compromise. So that is our review of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
This would still qualify in the Rotten Tomatoes world where this movie is trending very well. Yep. It's definitely in the fresh side of the tomato meter.
It is fresh. Just like us, fresh.
Yes.
And if you want to get involved in the freshness, Jared,
mm-hmm.
if you're a fan of this show, or if you stumble upon this vidya on YouTube, what do you do?
The like, comment, and subscribe right down below.
It's just that easy.
Yeah.
So, fun. It was fun getting out, Jared. We haven't done this in a while. And it was fun seeing a movie like this for free.
I like free.
Thanks, Paramount.
You're the best.
All right. So, until our next movie review or our next episode of The Scope, which both will be terrific, I guarantee it. This is Jared. I'm Shane. And bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying adios. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.